That is the ugliest creature I have ever seen. And it was naked.
Hello and welcome to episode 50 of Popcorn and Prosecco, our 50th episode. Like, can we get a yay for that or something?
Woo!
So we are a video podcast that focuses on movie talk. And first off, I'm Perry, and here are my co-hosts, Christy and Angie.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
So this time around, we are going to talk briefly about Boy Next Door, and then we're going to jump into our big review of the episode, Strange Magic, and then we're going to wrap up with a brand new caption contest for you guys, which I'm really looking forward to. But first off, Boy Next Door, Angie, you're taking that one.
I probably don't need to explain Boy Next Door to you because you've probably seen all the trailers. And here's what I have to say about Boy Next Door. If you saw the trailers, you know, which is just packed wall to wall with cheesy lines and the most like dumb, dramatic camera angles, and just like it's amazing.
I love your mom's
if you
cookies.
Saw that, yeah. If you saw that and you thought, oh my god, this looks fun, you should watch it because it is exactly as fun as it looks. I feel like there's always, like, there's so many movies that are, you know, bad movies that people are like, oh, it's so bad, it's fun. But most of them, honestly, turn out to be kind of boring because an incompetently made movie just usually is very dull. But this one is just competent enough that it's not boring. It's just, it's actually one of those rare bad movies that is exactly as entertaining as you think it's going
to
be.
I so want that to be your pull quote. I so want it to be just competent enough.
It helps that it's 90 minutes too, and it's the one thing it has going for it is that it's particularly well paced. It never stops, and you kind of just breeze right through it. And really, I mean, it's a stupid movie, and
technically it's
a mess too. I mean, Angie, I agree, it's competent enough, but this is not a well-directed movie. I mean, there's
the geography
so
and
many...
the action scenes are nonsense. Characters completely vanish for no apparent reason.
What about that absolutely nauseating pan when it's like, look at her in the window, and then go over to this house? It's like, I felt like I was in some, like, 3D nonsense kind of thing.
But,
and, like, his house, like, one day was just, like, lit up purple.
I love how, though, it just races through the shit it knows you don't really care about. Like, the first 10 minutes are setting up that she's a divorcee who is, like, kind of maybe going to get back together with her husband. I guess
totally
they're not divorced. They're separated.
Style.
But it, like, literally everyone in those scenes, it's setting up where she is emotionally, talks like this the entire time. I'm going to get some cake. Do you want to get some cake? I'm not sure if I'm still going to get with your father or not. Da-da-da. Like, everybody talks so fucking fast like it's Aaron Sorkin. It's amazing. And, like, I just kept giggling and being like, I already love this movie. And it just gets so much more bonkers. And I think one of my favorite scenes, because I feel like J-Lo's not in on the joke. Like, I feel like J-Lo was like, this is going to be, like, enough, too. This is going to be my basic instinct.
Word for word what I just wrote in my review. She thinks it's enough too, and nobody else does.
Right? She like because she is just she is acting her ass off. Like she still sucks at acting, but like to her credit, her ass looks good. We see it.
As a bad actress, and like actually, I feel a little bad for her because it's not like that character, you know, had that much going for her. I mean, she's really just like a high school teacher who very civilly talks to her husband about getting back together after he cheated on her. There's nothing that great about her. And then once Ryan Guzman's character comes in, he's got like so much like life and vibrancy.
Can we
and he's so over the top.
Him?
Like he steals the spotlight.
I know I shouldn't be turned on by him because he's super scary in this movie, but guys,
you know what Lottie pointed out that is so freaking true? He looks exactly like Theo James.
He does.
She said that, and I can't
identical.
Remember who Theo James is.
Theo James is a Divergent guy.
Oh. Well, here's the
thing.
No, so,
they look identical.
J-Lo thinks she's in a drama, which, sure. But, like, Ryan Guzman, like, knows that he's in a campy role, and, like, he lives for it. Like, one of my favorite scenes is where he's helping her put away groceries while her son and her husband are in the other room, and he's, like, threatening her, and she's like, you gotta go fuck yourself. And he's like, I'd rather fuck you. And I was like, I love everything about this. like, he knows how bad that line is, and he just rolls in it. And, like, it's so...
It almost makes me appreciate him as an actor, too. Like,
oh, completely.
I shouldn't be looking at that and be like, you know, give him this great role, but... He can have fun and he can go big. So, like, good
He's
for
much
him.
More
I want to see him actually
expect.
Take a movie that has, like, a real idea and, like, everybody in on that idea and fighting for that idea to be
I
a legit
like,
good thing.
I felt like he was a little Chris Pine, where if we give him a comedy, like a for real comedy, I think he'd be really funny. Because, like, my favorite part of this movie, they tease this in the trailer when he's like, I love your mom's cookies. But in the movie, he says that, and then he looks at J-Lo and takes a big bite out of this cookie, and it's just too much. Like, it's
Can I talk about that line, though? Like, I said this to you guys right after we saw it, but I love that line, and I actually think it's one of the more realistic things in the movie. Because if you were a high school kid who had just fucked the MILF next door, and like you were like, you know, hanging out with her and her family, that is exactly what that kid would do. He would be like putting out innuendo that like he thinks is like super clever because he's like mentally high-fiving himself. You could see that. But that like everyone else is just like, oh, ha ha ha.
Yeah, I feel like this is our quick and dirty review of A Boy Next Door is if you're watching those trailers and laughing, go see this movie.
I don't know. I don't think I could recommend paying money for it in the theater, but like this is going to be a great watch, like a Sunday rainy day, like a glass of wine in your hand. Go have some fun with it like that.
I disagree. Drinks, get like mildly sloshed and then go see this with friends. It is a great night out.
It is a great night out.
All right, on to our big review of the week, George Lucas's Strange Magic. The George Lucas created Strange Magic. He came up with the core concept of the idea, and then people kind of took it from there. But here's the IMDb synopsis of the movie, or logline. Goblins, elves, fairies, and imps, and their misadventures sparked by the battle over a powerful potion.
That's not a sentence.
Yeah, and it's just
There's no verb there.
So basically what happens is there is the fairy kingdom and the dark forest, and the bog king of the dark, I feel like I'm reading a children's storybook. The bog king of the dark forest, he hates loves, so he has all of his little goblin guys come and chop down the primrose petals and destroy them, because you need primrose petals to make love potion, and he doesn't want anybody to have love potion.
Yeah, but then basically
explaining that.
And then someone does make a potion and it causes him to go and kidnap a princess, so her princess fairy sister goes to rescue her. That's the plot. But when she meets the Bog King, she goes like jaded.
Wait, but like are we talking spoilers?
No, that's the entire trailer. That's the whole trailer. Like, why would they call it Strange Magic? The whole trailer. Okay, so the whole thing is like you've got Marianne, and Marianne's pissed off because she was dating Roland, but then he totally cheated on her. And so then she meets the Bog King and she's like, yeah, love's the worst. And he's like, I also agree, love's the worst. Then they're like, but I mean, you're kind of cute.
I think that you guys are leaving out one of the most important things about this movie, which is that it's a musical, and not like a musical with original music. It's a musical.
Oh, I thought you were
like
going to say the rape subplot.
I
thought you were
going to
say we were leaving out the most important thing, which is the rape subplot.
Oh no, I was
that too.
I was going to get to that, but I haven't yet.
We'll start with the music. Circle back to rape.
That just like incorporates pop songs, kind of like Moulin Rouge style. And for the most part, it's just, there's just no coherence to the musical choices, I thought. And so many of them I thought were
shoehorned in. It's so forced to make the words of the song pertain to what's happening in the movie. And it's also worth noting that when Angie and I saw it, like, if you probably noticed that Strange Magic has not been in the news until, I think, November. I think that's when Disney officially announced Strange Magic was happening. And then they released a trailer. And you know, every freaking trailer out there has music in it. So, like, why would we ever have thought this was an animated musical? We walked into this movie not knowing that, and holy shit, 5 minutes into this movie, someone just starts belting out a song, and we look at each other, and we're like, no, this is not happening right now.
Like,
and
like
it keeps
going
and going.
It's not like the songs are necessarily well chosen. Like, some of them just feel so out of nowhere. But I did like, okay, so it's not a good movie. I feel like we all agree on that, right? Like, it's not well made.
No.
Okay.
I thought the
animation
looked really
cheap. It's No Boy Next Door. I don't know.
Yeah. It looks like a straight-to-DVD movie. Like, it does. But I, by, like, the halfway point, tipped from thinking this was super stupid to thinking it was super stupid, but I was having a really good time. And almost entirely for me, because of Alan Cumming as the Bog King. Because, like, Alan Cumming's Bog King is like Alan Cumming himself, where he is not attractive and yet weirdly sexy because he has like broody angry Loki feelings, and we know
I had like the same feeling you did. It's like the first 30 minutes of this movie is like pure garbage. It's like someone like had to be so freaking high to make this movie happen and pour that kind of money into this, but then all of a sudden it's like nothing really changes. It's still as annoying and it still doesn't work, but something is just like seeped in and like you have this dumb grin on your face and you just can't help but to have a little fun.
Yeah,
with
Angie
it.
Is judging us so hard right now.
She was judging me so hard after we walked out.
No, I don't know. I went in and like Perry said, at first I was just like, what the fuck is this? And I have to admit that like by the middle, I was like, okay, you know, I kind of was like getting used to, I think the thing that this movie has going for is how earnest and sincere it is. This is not one of those movies where they're like, oh, we're going to fall into all the fairy tale tropes, wink, wink, we're clever, we know about pop culture. This is completely earnest. And I have to admit, like, I was like, okay, that's I guess it's kind of sweet. It thinks its heart is in its right place. But the whole thing left a bad taste in my mouth, and that is because there is a rape plot. The love potion essentially functions as like a date rape drug where if you give it to someone, that person will fall in love with you. And look, people have been, you know, love potions figure in all sorts of fairy tales. It's not like a weird thing. It's fine. But for some reason, the way it was used here, I think a large part of what I hated about it is that one of the heroes uses the love, like his whole thing is that he's in love with a girl who doesn't love him back. So he sets out to get the love potion. And the movie never judges him for it. It acts like that's like a completely proper thing to do.
Yeah, because the thing is, and I think why it makes this old device especially rapey, is that there are two people who want to use the love potion. One of them, as Angie mentioned, is this little elf character who wants to make Dawn fall in love with him. But the other one is Roland, who wants to make Marianne fall in love with him solely so that he can become king. And he is painted as a bad guy because he wants to make her fall in love for the quote-unquote wrong reasons, and so is punished for it, ultimately. But the little elf character, Sunny the little elf, because he loved Dawn and just wanted her to love him back, it's treated as a misguided thing, but not an evil thing, and it's upsetting. Because you're just like,
what the female characters want never comes into that, like, when it comes to the love potion. Because at this point, the woman that he wants to use the love potion on, she has shown no romantic interest in him. Which, to be fair, it's because he's, like, one of those classic nice guys who just kind of is, like, her friend. And he kind of just, like, follows her around and is, like, in love with her. But he, like, listens to her talk about other guys. But he never once says, like, you know, I also have the hots for you and I think we should date. He just kind of follows her around and is sad. And then he decides that he's going to use the date rape drug on her. That's what we should call it because, you know, love potion, my ass. And then things go badly and it goes badly for him.
He was one of my favorite characters.
No,
though,
I hated
because
him.
I could listen to Elijah Kelly sing the whole movie.
And that
movie.
Was the thing.
I'm not saying he's not a good singer, but no.
I thought the character was charming until it gets into the whole rapey plot, and then I was really bothered that he never has to learn his lesson because everybody's mad at him because not because he made the love potion, but because making the love potion brought the Bog King into the kingdom. It's not that they were like, "Whoa, you totally shouldn't use a love potion because that's super shady." Like, that never comes up. And that's disturbing.
I also want to talk about another message in this movie that I found was really upsetting, which is that the whole thing about this movie is like, oh, everyone deserves love no matter what they look like. But what it really is saying is everyone deserves love no matter what they look like, as long as we're talking about an ugly dude. If you're a chick, you still better be hot. Because the women and the female characters in this are all just like, they look like Barbies. You know, they've got a little bit of an Uncanny Valley thing going.
Not Maya Rudolph's character.
But she doesn't get love.
She's
not romanced
by anyone. That's fair.
Like, all the characters that are ugly get shade.
Yeah, there's actually a scene where one of the very pretty female characters is talking to the Bog King, and he's like telling her about some girl he used to like, and she sees her, and she's just like, ew, because she thinks that this other female character is ugly, and it's just, I don't know, I found that to be really, really annoying. I feel like what ultimately stopped me from being won over by this movie the way you were was that even though I kind of felt like, okay, the people clearly made it with good intentions and they're trying to do something original and creative and it's very earnest, I just found all of the messages in it too unsettling. I couldn't get behind it.
No, I get that. I was watching it and I thought it was funny enough. Like, I was like, oh, considering the time slot this is in and the way Disney kind of hit it, I liked it better than I expected, but then the next day I kept thinking about all these things, and I was like, oh, I don't think I'd take a kid to see this.
That's
movie.
Really the problem, is like the whole thing was made to tell these messages that you guys are saying are so problematic, but the only way to really enjoy this movie is if you can look past it, because towards the end, you know, some of the comedic beats actually do work. Like when he gives the other one the love potion and like the singing starts, it's like, you know, it's a little grating, but it actually is kind of funny too. It's like one of those things where like you start laughing at it and you're like, oh shit.
I think it's funny, but I'm saying like, I don't know that I'd take a kid to see this because like it's really.
It doesn't really send the right messages.
No, yeah. It's Frozen and Epic meet and have like a confused sort of homophobic, racist, sexist baby.
So that's like the full quote right there.
Yeah, there you go. Because, like, yeah, there are people of color in the movie, but notably, it's a rapey character, and, like, there notably are women in the movie, but their value hinges on them being beautiful, and there are gay jokes in the movie, but always on the idea of being, like, two dudes kissing is gross, and you're just like, oh, when was this movie made? Like, it feels so... It like the animation is not a high enough level that it feels like Disney animation. It just all feels so.
It's
like,
weird. The animation looks so cheap, like 99% of the time. And then all of a sudden, there'd be like this one like insanely detailed frame, like with something that was really interesting and gorgeous to look at. And it's like, so you just like focused on something you thought was really cool and forgot about the rest of it, right? But I will point out one character I loved. And, like, I guarantee you guys can guess who it is.
Yeah, I know who
What did I love?
It's the imp.
Yes!
He looks like a mouse rabbit thing.
I'm telling you, if they, like, let's say we were in a Comic-Con type environment and Strange Magic was there and they were showing off a clip from the movie. If they showed the scene, the chase scene between Sunny and the imp, we all would have walked away being like, well, that looks like fun. Cool. And then you would have seen the rest of it and you would have been like, holy
but like,
shit.
That's the thing. Because it's George Lucas, I can no longer be taken in by a single cute character. Like, I get what you're saying, and normally, yeah, but then they'd be like, George Lucas, and I'd be like, I know what your deal is. You give me an Ewok and then expect me to take a whole bunch of other shit. So,
I'm
like,
a huge sucker. I don't know what to say.
I like the imp, but I don't like the imp enough that I'm like, I'm going to take a 5-year-old to learn about rape. In the league, you know, so...
That's actually, that makes that the second Disney movie in like 12 months that's like about rape, because Maleficent was also super about rape.
Jesus. Oh, yeah, they're getting really rapey.
All right, do we want to talk about spoilers in this movie a
Disney,
little bit?
Super rapey.
Yeah, let's talk about spoilers.
A Disney release. I was looking to see, because like they didn't make
Disney,
it, but they released
it. Disney is, this was already in the works when Disney acquired Lucasfilm, and Disney is releasing it, but they're releasing it through their Touchstone Pictures division, because they do not want their name associated with this piece of garbage. Honestly, the fact that we hadn't heard about this until so recently says everything about this movie.
I feel Disney, like it was a contract thing.
Disney did put some money into it, though, because during that press conference, George Lucas kind of broke it down, and he's like, we had finished most of it, but when the company was bought over, he's like, it wasn't quite finished and they needed funding from Disney to get it done.
I know, but I still think that
Disney doesn't want this called a Disney movie.
Like,
they don't want Don and Marianne
like
as princesses.
No, I don't think I don't think anyone's calling it a Disney movie, not just because, you know, it doesn't have the Disney logo on it, but also because it just doesn't look like a Disney movie. Like, if you ask anyone us and who didn't know about this process and when it came up and all the details, someone would look at this and be
you're right, but what I'm saying is that I think Disney knows it's a dud. That's all I'm saying. Like, you're right, it didn't originate as a Disney movie, but the fact that Disney isn't willing to, like, own it, like, if they thought that this was gonna be a good movie, they would have been like, yeah, you know, we're fucking releasing it. They're doing that with Star Wars, like, they're, you know, it's a Lucasfilm movie, but they're like, oh yeah, but let's get the Disney name in there. They're not doing this with this movie. But yeah, spoilers. So, Sunny, Mr. Friendzone Date Rape Drug Man, what happens at the end is that the object of his affections has been kidnapped, he has to, like, go after her, and he finds her, and...
Notably, he doesn't rescue her, though.
What?
He's not the one who rescues her.
He's not the one who rescues her, but he finds her, and then this makes me so mad. She's just like, oh, by the way, now I'm in love with you. It comes out of nowhere. He actually never says, up until she confesses her feelings for him, there's no point where at which he is like, oh, I've been in love with you. Like, I think that we should be together romantically. That never happens. What happens is that this kid spends the entire movie feeling friend-zoned, tries to date rape this girl, is unsuccessful, and then in the end is rewarded for his behavior by having her say, oh, I realize you're such a good guy. I love you.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's what bugs me. It's like
it's such a typical
forced
happy ending. It's like they needed to end it that way, so they're just like, screw it all. Let's just do it. Because now is the time when the movie needs to end, so it will end.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just frustrating because it really undercut Dawn as a character that the whole time she was like flirting with cute boys, which of course she was. She was a teenager.
Annoying. Like, I like that to me, she got under my skin more than anybody in this movie.
I like Dawn because she was guileless. Like, where everybody else had a huge fucking chip on her shoulder. Like, and I mean, you know, she's pretty and she's a princess. What real problem does she have in the movie? But, like, I liked her fine, but I just felt like she got undercut because in the end they were like, oh, now we need you to not be in love with this character and instead be in love with this character. And there's no sense made to it. It's just kind of frustrating. But I really like the way they built the relationship between Marianne and Bog King. Like, I have a lot of problems with this movie, but I genuinely like that.
I thought that the conversations towards the tail end of the film, the conversations between the two of them, where they were kind of exploring who they were, that was some of the most well-written material in the entire film. They were actually engaging conversations that added some layers to the characters.
I was saying that I think it is an entire relationship founded on, hey, we've both been dumped before, why don't we just fuck each other? No, I don't know. So we should wrap up, but overall, I thought this movie was garbage. If you want to send your kids these really horrifying messages about, like, women and their roles and, you know, and women and gender roles and romance, by all means, but otherwise, no, stay away from this.
I wouldn't recommend this movie, but I'm going to say that it's definitely going to end up on my best worst movies list of the year, and it's like a borderline Winter's Tale for me at this point, where I know it's like pure shit, but I walked out of this movie with a huge fucking smile on my face. It might be for all the wrong reasons, but I walked out just like giddy over how bad it was and how hilarious it was and how just big it goes. I mean, it's not good, but there's some fun to be had with it, and I can't wait to get drunk and watch it again.
I liked it okay, but I would say because of all the things the movie is saying, whether intentionally or unintentionally, I wouldn't take a kid to see it. I don't know, man. There's some good stuff out there already. I don't think I'd pay to see this. I'd rather say people go see Paddington or buy Box Trolls. That just came out. And, you know, some people are on the box art that think it are pretty great. So
I say go watch Boy Next Door, which actually has healthier messages about relationships than Strange Boy.
Don't fuck teenagers. That's a message we really could all learn. Just don't fuck teenagers. Yeah. Even if you are a teenager, teenagers are the worst. Don't fuck teenagers.
All right.
Anyway.
That is a wrap on our Strange Magic review. Now it's on to caption contest time. Christy, you've got that.
Yeah, so last week's caption was from Black Hat, and it featured Chris Hemsworth and his lady, and he was on the phone. And our winner for the caption contest this week is John Lasser, at TV and Film Guy, who wrote, "Damn it, IKEA. No, these aren't the shower curtains I ordered. Don't make me get Mildurner." I'm going to put
that. Can you say that again? I was so excited when we picked that because I wanted to hear you say it.
I was totally fine with it. And then I got it, and I was like, oh, right, Thorhammer. Shit.
So, I have to say, whenever I see Thor and the characters talk about Mjolnir, I keep thinking they're saying meow meow, and it always confuses me. So you're not alone in having trouble pronouncing that.
I read that before, and I was like, no, I can read all that. And then for some reason, just, yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, Thorhammer.
That's why you tweet words like that.
Thank you, Josh, for playing our contest. And this week, if you want to compete and see if we can give you a Twitter shout out, this is our Strange Magic image. And take a look at that and tweet at us at @popcornprosecco and give us your suggestion for a caption. And if we like yours best, we'll put it on next week's show.
And that would be a wrap on episode 50 of Popcorn and Prosecco. I love saying that. That's so freaking cool. If you like what you see, you can keep following along on YouTube. We are also on iTunes, where we would love if you would comment, rate, like, all that good stuff there. We have our own website, popcornprosecco.com. Please like us on Facebook. And as Christy mentioned, we're also on Twitter, @popcornprosecco. And on top of that, all three of us are all over the internet as well. Angie, you want to take it first?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter @AJHAN, and you can find my writing at slashfilm.com.
Christy?
I'm @ChristyPuchko on Twitter. That's KristyPuchko, and I write for all over the web, but you can find highlights at decadentcriminals.com.
And you can catch me on Twitter @PNemiroff, and I write for Collider.com. So thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next week.
Do you want to take a cookie for the road?
Love your mother's cookies.